how much is the WASD even being remembered that we have this coming up on Thursday with so much geopolitical happening at the moment? You're listening to the American Ag Network, and good afternoon. I'm Susan Littlefield. As Mike Susilo joins us today, Mike, of course, is with Global Commodity Analytics, and that just makes me wonder, though, Mike, is we're going to wake up Thursday morning and go, oh, it's WASD report day.
I think so. I really do think, because rightfully so, we're living in a historical moment right now, Susan. And what I mean by that is the head of the International Energy Agency came out about a week or so ago and said, if you put together the 1973, 74, 79, 1980 oil crises, those two crises together in terms of lost energy supplies, this situation is worse than both of those combined. This week, he's come out and said, if you put together those two and add the Russian invasion back in 2022 of Ukraine, it's worse than all three of those combined. This is what you and I have been talking about with this genie coming out of the bottle, that genie being the Strait of Hormuz being choked off and closed and blocked from allowing supplies to reach the demand market. Now what we're facing, in even a higher historical threshold and even more marbles or chips on the table, if you will, geopolitically, is the bottle being broken. The genie can't go back in the bottle if the bottle's broken. And the bottle is the capability to make the energy supplied to 20 to 30% of the world's demand. And we saw this morning that Israel hit Iranian petrochemical facilities. Iran hit Saudi petrochemical facilities. It's already starting in terms of the supply infrastructure and the supply chain damage that could take not months, but years to repair. Even President Trump talked about this on Monday's press conference. He said it would take around 20 years for Iran to rebuild right now. If we do what we could do on Tuesday night, it could take 100 years. Markets truly trying to grapple with that. And in the context of that, why would you even be thinking about the WASD report right now? And it helps explain a lot as to why crude oil and some of the energies are higher still today. And we are seeing wheat come around, which I think is very important as we close out the session. But the rest of the market's been risk off pretty much all day long.
You know, and you talk about that, and to talk about it being a historical time that we're in, there's going to be a lot of headline chasing over the next 24 hours, as we know that 7 o'clock Central Time deadline is put in place by the president.
Yeah, you're right. And I think between the headline chasing and the algorithmic trading systems, which those two feed upon each other, I'm under the working assumption right now, until I'm proven wrong, and I'll probably be proven wrong or right this month of April, that the algo trading systems who trade off the news headlines feel as though there's no supply problem until there is, and therefore they don't need to put a premium into the markets, and therefore that's why many of the markets are going lower. But back on the wheat market, I do feel as though the noontime weather models pulling some precip was a big deal to the market, and we've got the wheat back up 2 to 3 in the soft red and steady in the hard red, even amongst all this risk-off mindset. And I think it goes back to those crop conditions on Monday afternoon by USDA of good to excellent for winter wheat, coming in at 35%, 7 points below the trade expectations, the worst since 2023. And it really calls into question heading into the WASD report, even though we don't get 26, 27 crop year estimates until next month in May, it really does call into question, what is our wheat supply? It's not as assured as maybe those algorithmic traders are thinking it is right now.
You know, and I thought it was interesting, too, as we look at this market, that the fact is, Mike, we've seen a little glimpse and talk about the weather starting to factor in as well amongst everything else that's happening.
Yeah, that's the other genie coming out of the bottle right now. It's already out, but again, the trade says, and I've seen this in the European headline news already on Tuesday, that there is ample Russian and Black Sea wheat out there. They skip over the fact that a Russian cargo ship filled with wheat was struck by a Ukrainian drone. One report says it sunk. The other report says Russia recovered it and it towed it back to port. But you've got a real infrastructure issue and supply chain issue brewing over there in the Black Sea still, between the oil and the grains, when it comes to both Russia attacking Ukraine infrastructure of energy and agriculture and vice versa. And I don't think there's any premium in the wheat market for that. And why I say that is because while the WTI since the middle of February has jumped 76%, soft red wheat's only up 4% during that same time period. We've actually lost about 40 cents since our early March high. So there's no risk premium for the weather and the supply, either domestically or globally, if you ask me.
On the livestock side, Mike, has the momentum kind of swayed a little bit to the negative for these cattle? I mean, we've had 7 consecutive days of higher, and we might still see it with the April live cattle contract.
Yeah, I really think that's it in a nutshell, Susan. If you even go back further, if you look at the end of November, 1st of December, this market's been on a tear, and rightfully so. It's had almost everything going with it, with intermediate hits in terms of Wall Street going lower. I think that was part of Tuesday's trade, but to get to 249, hit a second day in a row of all-time record high prices and lead month live cattle, that really says a lot to the trade. But it also says, hey, look, we probably are at a point now where we need to feed the bull. And as we look around the rest of the commodity complex, they're getting nervous. Maybe we should take some marbles off the table. I think this is a really critical week for the cattle and the feeders, as much as it is the grains with the WASDE report, because I really am going to be curious to see if USDA ups their Q3 average steer price from 242. They've been raising it, I think, 2 months in a row, if not 3 months in a row, these past few months. In terms of cattle prices, I like to see that happen again. If not, I may be very close to getting some Q3 hedges in place, because this summer driving season is going to be tough. And if the summer driving season is tough, I'm going to assume the summer grilling season is going to be as tough as well.
All right, joining us today, Mike Zuzulo. Mike, of course, is with Global Commodity Analytics. And a quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. That's the Tuesday market wrap-up right here on the American Ag Network.